welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life.
Today, I'd like to welcome Ben Sturgill again.
Always a pleasure to be here, David. Thank you.
Thank you. So tell me a little bit about what you've been trading recently. It's been an amazing month for a lot of the Raging Bull traders. How's it working for you?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, quite well. We have earnings. I love playing earnings because oftentimes, you know, there's an increase in volatility, which can oftentimes move up the value of options. And you'll see a lot of times companies will make runs into earnings, particularly when those companies have short interest in them, meaning there's a lot of people that short that. And so, you know, when you're short and the stock price goes against you, it's oftentimes easy to freak out and buy. And so when those short sellers become, you know, buyers to cover their position, it can just up and away. I mean, just this morning, you know, I had a very small position in SDC, Smile Direct Club, and made about $1,000 on just selling half of that because of that short squeeze into earnings tomorrow.
Cool. That's amazing. That'll put a smile on your face. No pun intended. And so with that, you're getting people that are betting against what's actually happening. How much of that do you see that in terms of earnings, where there's a bunch of people that think it's going to go one way, a bunch of people think it'll go the other? How many people bet against the trend or bet against what they think the earnings are going to be? What does that look like?
I think it really just depends stock to stock, company to company, in terms of, you know, even their past history or, you know, what people, you know, had thought about them. For example, Smile Direct Club, you know, came out as an IPO. I'm an IPO trader, so I've been watching it since back in the fall. It came out, you know, in around the high, you know, teens, low 20 areas, and then just fell apart as an IPO. And so it's been one of those ones that, you know, when it burns people tend to get burned and think, man, I'm just going to short this thing. And certainly having reason to do so, with plenty of news stories leading up all the way until now, where the stock was down around, you know, $4 a share, which is amazing in terms of its IPO year to go from, you know, down 80%. And so when you see that and you see that downward movement over the lifetime of the stock, you're just thinking, oh, it's got to keep going down, in the same way that people have this mentality when they see the market going up. Oh, it's got to keep going up. And we saw that correction back in March because of this pandemic. And, you know, we're seeing a bit of that same correction here for SDC, because it doesn't always have to go down. And so I think a lot of times people will just that don't necessarily know how to do technicals, or even that there's oftentimes runs into earning, not often will they know that technical aspect of a stock, and they'll short it just because that's what the, you know, quote unquote history of the stock would dictate. And sure enough, when it goes against them, a lot of times there's just that covering, and it can really send the price up. And so, you know, when you've been doing this as long as a lot of us traders at Raging Bull have, you've seen that it's the same movie played again and again and again. And you just, you know, go along with the way, you know, you've seen it move in the past.
Yeah, sure. You know, shorting is something that I remember. The first time I ever shorted something was some years back when Chipotle had, I think there'd been some E. coli or something, one of their burritos. And I'd heard about shorting, but I thought, I wonder if I could short this. And sure enough, I did pretty well out of it. But I know a lot of people hopped on that particular shorting quite late in the game, and they actually got caught out as the stock picked back up. So, you know, it's certainly a technique, I think, that can be very effective, with some caveats. You mentioned there that not many people are, you know, quite as skilled on the technical side of stuff. Are there other trading methods and indicators that you find that when you tell them to people, they're like, well, how does that work? You know, that sounds new. Because I think to a lot of people, they're just used to buying and holding stocks, or possibly trading in options in terms of buying calls. What other things, you know, do you use in your trading day that might not be familiar to our listeners?
Yeah, so glad you asked. Well, two things I would point to specifically. One is a put-call ratio on a stock, right? Oftentimes, what you need to understand with stocks, or even how options move, really they move with a mechanism in the market, right? When sometimes there are just too many people that have gone long, right? There's just not enough buyers left. And then ultimately, when there's not enough buyers, there's going to be a drop, right? And so the put call ratio, this ratio of how many puts are in the stock and how many calls are in the stock, oftentimes, you know, in the same way, when you have a ton of short interest, when there's just a ton of sellers and enough people have sold and there's no one else to sell, well, then that kind of tension, if you think about a stock price as like a tug of war, when there's not enough people pulling on that sell side anymore, well, ultimately the buyers, you know, start pulling it the other direction. And so that's one thing I would tell listeners to look at is the put call ratio on certain stocks, because, you know, once it gets to a certain level, there's just no more sellers, there's no more buyers. And so mechanically, oftentimes it has to go back the other direction. That's one thing I oftentimes look at in terms of you know, seeing a potential move of a stock go the other way. The other thing that I would say when it comes to really helping folks understand how a stock will move or things that we use when it comes to just the technical aspect of these trades, beyond that put call ratio, is really understanding the charts, right, for these kind of support and resistance lines. And when you see a stock hit up against a support line and it bounces off that multiple times, it tells you there's a lot of strength there, kind of holding it up. Someone's holding that up. I think, you know, as we look, even, you know, I day trade, David, even as we look to the SPY, right, the S&P 500, that ETF that I trade daily, what we've seen overnight is that during the day, we haven't seen a ton of movement. At night, it just keeps getting lifted. It just keeps getting lifted overnight. And there's just been that buying pressure in the after hours to kind of every single, even if it will drop during the day, lift it back up at night, drops during the day, lift it back up at night. And so when you see that happen repeatedly, you can start to see a pattern that happens there that says, hey, particularly with the SPY, perhaps the powers that be don't want to see this thing drop. And when you can see that also with a stock where there's a support area that just keeps getting hit and bounced from, well, then that gives you a pretty good sense that, man, there's a chance it's just not going to go below that, in which case it'd be a great place to buy and belief that it will rise above that.
You mentioned a few things there that sound a little bit somewhat cloak and dagger and full of subterfuge. You mentioned that the market is going up at night, and then you said someone's holding it up. And then you also said the powers that be. So, you know, to me, there's a kind of an indicator there that there's something else going on below the surface. Is that true?
Well, David, I don't want to be a conspiracy theory guy, but I think it's actually gone beyond conspiracy to the point that, you know, there's an article in Bloomberg that the Fed has said today they're going to start buying corporate debt ETFs. Now, the Federal Reserve has pulled out every bazooka, every bit of cash they can, to the tune of trillions of dollars. In their words, unlimited, you know, support. And they're buying up so many things in this market to keep it buoyed. And when they're saying, hey, we're not just going to be the lender of last resort for banks, right? But we're going to be, you know, the lender of last resort for everybody. And we're even going to buy corporate debt. I mean, I won't get into it for the sake of the time we don't have here, but there are stories now about certain corporate debt, certain corporations that had absolute junk debt. And the U.S. government came in and bought it up. And, you know, the natural cycles of macroeconomics of business is that there's these cycles that happen. And sometimes when you take large risk and large debt, businesses fail. And when the government doesn't let anything fail, right, when they're coming in and buying all this stuff up, right, it's not, I think, out of the question to believe that they're seeing this continued support, as they would call it, of the market, you know, time and time and time again. And even when you hear a lot of our leaders talk about the stock market, I mean, again, that's unprecedented. You just don't oftentimes hear leaders like Larry Kudlow and these advisors to the president talking about goals they have for the stock market, right? That this is unprecedented times. And so when you see this, you know, happening on our news and these advisors to the president saying these things, and then you hear, you know, these new stories about the Fed buying corporate debt ETFs and admitting to that, you know, you have to believe that in our current economic situation where, you know, last week we have unprecedented unemployment numbers, you got retail outlets like Neiman Marcus and so on, you know, J.Crew, probably JCPenney pennies this week, and more to come filing bankruptcies. And yet the NASDAQ is back near all-time highs. It just doesn't make sense. Something's holding it up. Someone's holding it up. And why not the people with the biggest purse?
And would you say that that was market manipulation on one level from the U.S. government?
Man, you know, manipulation is such a hard word. It's such a strong word. But I would say they would call
cajoling. Market cajoling.
They would call it market support. And, you know, again, I'm a history major. I'm a student of history. When you think about what the Fed, you know, did to support or not enough perhaps to support the country in 1929 when we had that stock market fall. And then you had Ben Bernanke back in the crisis of 08, 09. He took it a step further to go beyond being, you know, the lender of last resort for banks. But for all these other financial institutions like GE Financial, for example, right, they're taking it even another step further this time to add that support. And I wouldn't call it necessarily, I don't know, perhaps it's manipulation in the sense that there are these cycles. And if you let the natural course of things take their course, you're going to see this massive drop and more folks being affected and hurt. And so in their view, they see it as support, but it's certainly, let's just say this, I'll say it. In the history of the stock market, there is no such thing as a V bottom. What we've seen right now, where the market drops, bounces, comes back up, and that's it, right? They don't exist in the wild. There are U bottoms and there are W bottoms, but there is no such thing as a V bottom in the wild unless something is acting upon it. And that's what I'll just say as a student of history and a student of the stock market.
Because the idea of a free market is that it's free to do what the market needs to do. So there's clearly something else playing a role. I mean, what you're describing there is, it's like the effect of gravity, right? You can't see gravity, but you can see its influence. So you can't, well, can you see the behind the scenes trading? Is that possible to do? I mean, you can see the V bottom, which doesn't occur in nature. When left to its own devices, the free market economy does not naturally do a V bottom. But can you see the actual trades that are going on that influence this? Or is this just conjecture?
I'm so glad you asked. Yes, actually. So I've now taken over this service at Raging Bull called Dark Pool Profits, where, you know, we do have the stock market. We have the NASDAQ, we have, you know, the New York Stock Exchange. And oftentimes you can see these massive trades come through, what they call block trades, you know, to the tune of, you know, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. And so oftentimes you'll see these trades come through. And as most folks know, that trade in the market, volume tells a big story, right? It's people putting their money where their mouth is. It's not just saying, I want to buy this, but saying, I want to buy a lot of this. And so when you see those block trades come through, it's telling you that there is this massive buying going on in these certain tickers. So I'll give you an example. Just yesterday on Monday, I saw this trade come through in the morning on Microsoft, and the amount, it was over, you know, the amount of shares bought at the price, it was $250 million trade. Someone came in and bought $250 million of Microsoft. And sure enough, they bought it at 183, and that day it closed at 187.50. And so you have these, you know, these entities out there that are, you know, that have just armies of analysts and people that know more than you and I know. And so you can see these block trades come through. But David, the coolest thing is that, you know, here at Raging Bull, we have a scanner, and it's that, you know, there are scanners out there that cost a lot of money to find this. We have a scanner called a dark pool scanner. Now, if you give me a second, I'll explain what a dark pool is. There's a lot of brokerages out there that have these pools where they will exchange their stock on, and you won't see that volume come in to the normal New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ, right? You don't see the volume there. Oftentimes for the other block trades, you'll see that volume come in as a big block trade, a big spike in volume. But when you see some of these brokerages buying some of these equities, and they're buying them on the dark pools, meaning that they want to be able to establish a position in them and get a large quantity of shares without tipping their hat to the rest of the market to let the market know that that's exactly what they're doing. And so what I love about Dark Pool Profits is that with this scanner, we get an insight into that activity, into that buying that the rest of the world can't really see unless they have these sophisticated and expensive scanners like we do. And what I love about that is that in the market, you need an edge, right? When you're a retail trader and you're trading up against the big boys, you need an edge to not just have the technical ability to be able to analyze a chart, but when you see a nice chart pattern and then you see some of these firms trading hundreds of millions of dollars worth of this and establishing positions in it, it certainly gives you an edge to take a similar position because whatever they know, you get to take advantage of.
How reliably predictable is that, that you can see where the big money is going and follow it and get a pretty good accuracy in your trade?
Well, you know, it's trading, so nothing's guaranteed, but we've done backtesting on this scanner and on some of these trades. And what we've done is we've looked through really the technicals of a chart. When a trade comes through a large dark pool trade and it aligns with a chart that technically looks appealing, right? I mean, if a stock is tanking, just tanking hard, and all the technicals of that chart tell you this is not the time to buy, this is not the place to get in, this is a bad idea, well then, you know, you have to be wary like you would with anything. But at the same time, when you see a chart that looks interesting and you're trying to decide, gosh, that looks appealing to me, this looks like a good place to get in, should I or should I not? And then you see a dark pool trade come through or a large block trade come through and the quote unquote smart money is getting in at that point. That certainly reassures you that, hey, if I had any question before and now I see, you know, a million and a half shares go off of this for a $200 stock, it might be a pretty good confirmation that you're thinking about the technical place to enter that trade is right. And so it's not everything. It's not a silver bullet. There's no such thing in trading, but it certainly is a nice indicator and catalyst for you to enter a trade that looked good in the first place.
So that sounds amazing. Tell me a little bit more about how the service works, what subscribers can expect, and what you see happening here in the next few months with the service.
Yes, certainly, David. Well, again, what I do is I have this scanner. I'm watching it throughout the day. I'm seeing, again, not just one block trade come through, but sometimes when there's multiple block trades go through or even dark pool trades that go through and you start to see in a stock a position being established, well, then that for me kind of sparks my interest. Now, you got to understand there are hundreds of these trades that come through and you got to filter through them in terms of, you know, what might just be normal activity in terms of large volume, you know, stocks. But for me, that's the filtering that I do for my members. And I try and pull out, you know, maybe 4 to 5, sometimes more names each and every day. And I put them on a watch list and I send them out to my members and saying, hey, this is what I saw come through yesterday, just like I did with Microsoft from yesterday. I sent that to my members this morning and said, hey, if this comes through on a pullback this morning, if there's any pullback to a good moving average line on this, I believe there's good reason to get into this. And here's the contract that I'm looking to get into. Or, you know, you can play it for a credit spread or a debit spread in terms of saying, hey, someone just bought this many shares at this price. It's unlikely to fall back below that price. And so, you know, there's several different options, plays you can make on it at that point. So I'll either send I'll send a watch list in the morning to my members, but also when I see certain trades come through that just, you know, scream to me like someone is buying and now's the time to buy, then I'll oftentimes send an alert and say, hey, I just saw this block trade come through on Microsoft at $1.83. The day looks strong. The other tech stocks are running up. The NASDAQ is running up. I believe they're all going to run together. So I'm going to take a position here at Microsoft at the money for next Friday at $1.83. And, you know, had I been able to send that to members yesterday, I just started, but had I been able to send it to members yesterday at $1.83, it ends the day at $187.50, that's a heck of a trade for an at-the-money call. And so that's the type of alert I want to be able to send members to when I see those trades, you know, fire off to say, hey, now's the time to get in. I'm getting in. And if you want to get in, this would be a great catalyst to do so.
In terms of their volume, do you think that, you know, the dark side of the market is always there regardless of what the public side of the market is doing? Are people still trading as actively or more actively? What do you see?
Absolutely. What you have to understand is that there are so many people out there who aren't working in the markets like I'm working in the markets, like retail traders are working in the markets. And so you have all these funds, these hedge funds, these brokers that need to be moving money. Though cash is a position, when you've seen the market bounce like it's bounced in the past, you know, 30 days, and you're seeing these people who have these brokerage accounts calling their brokers, you know, a month ago and saying, sell everything, get in cash. Those brokers, those financial advisors oftentimes don't make money when their members are just in cash. And so they're trying to encourage them to get back into the markets. And so there is this buying and selling, you know, happening all the time because everyone's trying to get positioned, right, for that next move, for that profit, for the ability to make their customers money, their members money, in order for them to make money. And so, yeah, we're seeing this happen all the time, both to the upside and to the downside. You know, when the market fell in you know, March and prior to that, you know, there was tons of block trades and these dark pool trades going off to the downside. And now in this past 30 days, we've seen quite a few go off to the upside. And so it's just a great insight into not just what these big brokerages allow you to see on the public market, but also what they're doing behind the scenes and don't want you to see on these private markets, these dark markets that aren't lit up. That's why they call them dark pools. They aren't lit up for the whole public to see. Again, it's just a little bit more insight into what the smart money, as you call it, is doing with their positions, you know, long-term and short-term.
Amazing. How can people find out more about your service?
I'm so glad you asked, David. They can go to darkpoolprofits.com and click on the Get Started button there, and it will explain really what we do, what capabilities we have with this scanner, what we provide to investors out there that are looking to get more of an edge in the market than they previously could because they just don't have access, you know, to an expensive and sophisticated scanner like this. I'm actually really glad to be able to pull back that curtain and to be able to provide that information so that, you know, traders, retail traders like us, everyday folks can have that edge and be able to see behind the curtain what the big guys are doing when, you know, otherwise we just would only be limited to what we can see in the open markets.
Yeah, amazing. There's more than meets the eye, as the saying goes. Thank you for your time, Ben. Is there anything else you would like to share with the audience today?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, to the audience, to anyone out there trading, especially in markets like this, you know, it's very easy to get kind of euphoric. The market drops, the market, you know, responds. And I would just really tell investors to say, hey, let's be cautious at a place like this because there's always more going on than meets the eye. Again, as I look at the markets, I don't see how the markets reflect the economy at this point. And so I would really encourage people to consider being patient. Right? Not feeling that FOMO, that fear of missing out, that greed that comes with saying, look, the markets, you know, we're all going back to normal. Everything's going back to normal. Patience oftentimes is a very important virtue when you're investing and when you're trading and getting a clear picture of what's happening before you just, you know, just dive right in. And so that's what I would say to anyone out there who's listening or who's investing or who's trading to get a clearer picture of the market before you throw your full weight of your account behind it. Because very hard to say at this point what will happen next, given both the Fed support and the economic outlook.
No irrational exuberance.
There you go. There you go, Dan.
Thank you for your time, Ben. Very enjoyable to speak with you as always, and appreciate your time.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Dan. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. To discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.